The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, let's start off with a story that we had told you about a few days ago, dealing with the whole thing about recreational marijuana. There's been some movement on that. I had heard that it had that the Supreme Court had all of the information they needed to move forward and do something about that particular story, and it looks like now they have done that. Channel 7 News on their digital site reporting that Arkansas's high court has, I guess, through an injunction is what I'm understanding here. Here, let me just read it to you because I just came upon this and I wanted to get it to you. The Arkansas Supreme Court ordered that a ballot question regarding the legalization of recreational marijuana be added to the November election conditionally. That according to the folks at Channel 7 and their content partner 4029 News, in a court order, a motion was approved to expedite the case and issue a preliminary injunction. 4029 was reporting that Secretary of State John Thurston was ordered to conditionally certify the petitioner's proposed amendment pending the court's decision on the overall case. The appeal was brought on behalf of Responsible Growth Arkansas, a ballot question committee that turned in 89,151 valid signatures. Those signatures were approved by the Secretary of State's office, but ultimately were rejected by the Arkansas Board of Election Commissioners because the election, or pardon me, the limitation on THC was not included in the title. The issue will be before voters during the midterm election this fall, but whether it becomes law after a popular vote still remains uncertain. So it sounds like to me, Chris and Robert, both of them joining me today as they do each Friday, because we have so many stories that run during the course of a week that have some form of judicial element to it, that I thought it made sense to have a law professor, Robert Steinbach from Audubon School of Law, whose opinion, by the way, is his and his alone, have him on the show. And then Chris Corbett is a practicing attorney in Conway and, you know, fifth generation Arkansan. I have him on the show as well for his opinion. And guys, it sounds like to me that what the Supreme Court is, they wanted to make sure that this got on the ballot in case they didn't get to it, you know, as expeditiously as they needed to. And we'll be voting on this come November. Is that what I'm reading here? Let's start with you, Robert.
I think that's right. And I think that's a good thing. By the way, just by way of introduction, you aptly pointed out that Chris is a practicing attorney. And don't worry, one day he'll get it down so he doesn't need to practice it. But the point.
Well, you're a practicing attorney, too. I mean, you go out and do your thing as well.
That is 100% true. The difference between me and Chris is, as much as I practice, I'll never get it perfect. Chris will get it perfect eventually.
Okay.
So that's why I go to Chris when I need legal services, because if I were to hire myself, I'd be hiring the second best. So the fact that the Supreme Court did what you described is really an important point to discuss here, Dave, and I'm glad you raised it as your first issue this morning. And that is, we talked about, I think it was last week on your show, how there was this hiccup, this interruption, where the folks on this, what was it, commission, whatever it's called.
Yes, the Election Commission.
The Election Commission, thank you. The ballot the title is not right, and therefore we're not going to put this on. And the problem that I have, and which we discussed in part previously, is that we have procedures for everything in law, right? I mean, law has two components. Procedure, meaning how do you do it, and then substance, what are your rights? And procedures are there so that we orderly get to the end and get to address the substance. But when procedures are used rather than speed bumps to sort of direct speed, right, but as gates to prevent access to justice, then it's a problem. And when you keep a ballot initiative off of the ballot because, oh, well, you got a typo or, you know, this type of thing, I intentionally use hyperbole. I intentionally go beyond even the facts of this case, but I think the failure to include something in the title is akin to that. Then you are not letting the people vote on the substance because of something that is not for the purposes of simply directing the traffic. You're shutting off traffic entirely. And so the act here of the Supreme Court is correct. It's allowing the substance to go forward and then dealing with the process potentially later.
Yeah, well, you know, basically I think the Supreme Court was saying, hey, look, 89,000 plus people signed the petition. They want to vote on this. And we're not going to throw it off the ballot because the Election Commission says it doesn't say in the title about THC. Well, that's an easily corrected thing. I mean, why don't they just stand up and say, hey, look, rewrite the title, take out the THC, give it back to us, and we'll say it's okay tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? That's not what's happening here. They're trying to, you know, nix the whole thing.
And that's exactly, you have hit the nail on the head with that one, Dave, right? Because that's the point. The substance is, do the people of Arkansas get to vote on this ballot initiative? That's the substance. What's the process? Well, you got to create a title. You got to get it 100,000, you know, 80,000, whatever signatures. You got to put it on the ballot. That's all the process. So let's not let the process overtake the substance for picayune distinctions. Now, how do you draw that line is always a question of fact in the individual circumstances. You know, if they never mentioned the word marijuana in a marijuana initiative to be put on the ballot, and that went to the election committee, and they said, well, you're having people vote on whether we can use a substance, and you never mentioned the substance, that is not enough. So that's not the case here. But my point is, you can get to a point in which the process is so broken that you have to put a stop to it. But we are seeing actually the opposite. This is where bureaucrats get so overly focused on minutiae that they prevent people from engaging with, in this case, a ballot initiative. And that's a problem. And to be clear, I'm not the guy that wants the ballot initiative on there in the sense that I'm not in favor. I'm not in favor of sort of ubiquitous legalization of marijuana. I understand there are arguments back and forth. I don't like the over-criminalization either, but I'm not in favor of ubiquitous legalization. And putting this ballot initiative on increases the chance that that will happen. So just by having it on increases the likelihood of something that I don't prefer. But what I prefer more than whether or not I'm pro or con on the marijuana is I'm pro-democracy. I'm pro having the people decide their own rights. And by doing that, so with that philosophy, I'm in favor of any ballot initiative that allows people to be heard.
All right. Well, let's jump over to Chris. And, Chris, let's get your thoughts on this as well. I think this is a important story in and of that the Supreme Court of the state of Arkansas is saying, put it on the ballot, because their statement towards the end of this article is that the issue is going to be before voters during the midterm elections this fall, but whether it becomes law after a popular vote still remains uncertain. So it would seem to me they're saying you can clean this up after the vote's taken even.
Yeah, well, Dave, you're right on it. And so just to, back up a little bit and talk about this process. So over 200,000 Arkansans want to be able to vote on recreational marijuana. And then a state board of election commissioners.
Which I don't know how many of them there are. I don't know that part.
I don't either.
Of it.
But so it's a board, right? And despite zero opposition, despite any testimony against it, this board refused to allow this ballot, this proposed amendment to go on the ballot. It's crazy. It's just what Rob said. It's like, hey, we want people to vote on it. And they got down into the minutia, and essentially what the commissioners were expressing a concern about was that this is the statement they were concerned about. Medical marijuana users would no longer have a limit of 10 milligrams per edible. However, the 10 milligram cap would still remain for recreational use. So that they just got down into to the minutiae and said, well, that's not in here, and we're going to make a decision that can't go on the ballot.
Yeah, and they didn't say why that was important even.
Exactly, Dave. You're right on point. And so this board, I'm assuming it's three people, without any testimony against it, without any opposition, said, nope, it can't. They just usurped the desire and will of 200,000 people that signed that petition to get it on the ballot. And we're a democracy here. We want to vote on it. And so we have the commandants at the election commission said, no, it can't go on the ballot.
Well, we'll have to find out how this runs out, because there's another initiative that is out there about Pope County and a casino, and they said that couldn't be put on the ballot, even though they had the right amount of signatures and everything. So there's some big question marks here about, some overreach as far as this is concerned. This is a whole lot more complex than what it used to be. I mean, look, I worked on getting the food tax removed onto the ballot many years ago, and at the time, Pryor was the AG, and the AG was the one that made the decision about the title, and three times he turned the title down that we submitted, and then we looked at him and said, then you write it. All right, well, and that's what he did. He wrote it, and then you couldn't understand whether you were voting for something or against something. It was that simple. But he just wrote it. This shouldn't take, a long time to figure out. They've made this more complex than it needs to be. All right, 19 after 6. We've talked about our first issue already today. Man, I came right out of the boxes. I was like a track star starting the show today. The gun went off. I was ready. We'll be back. We got a lot more to talk about. Like, I want Rob, since he's the professor here, the legal professor, to tell us what's the difference between an affidavit and a warrant. I want to know about this. This is important to the whole Trump argument that's going on. We'll discuss it when we turn here to the Dave Elswick Show. It's the Dave Elswick Show on 101.1 FM. The Answer. Don't forget about PI Roofing. They'll take care of your roof. They're just finishing up a roof right about three houses down from me. They've been working their little tails off since December when we had that hailstorm up there in Cabot. And a lot of people are out doing their jobs and asking the right questions, and PI Roofing's name keeps coming up, and PI Roofing keeps getting jobs. So keep that in mind when you're looking for a roof. They do it professional. They do it quickly. If anything by chance goes wrong, whether it's a shingle or a felt or plywood, whatever it is, they will fix it for you at no charge to you. That's PI Roofing, 501-707-3551 or piroofing.com. It's the only roofing company I've ever allowed on the top of my house in Cabot. All right, we continue on a Friday morning. It's a good thing that it's Friday. I don't know if I could have kept going. I just don't know if I got up at 3:45 in the morning tomorrow. So I'll get up at 7 and come in and do, the car and truck doctors in the morning. But let me tell you what, 3.5 hours more sleep, big difference, just so you'll know. All right, we've got Chris Corbett with us. He is an attorney at law. I'll say it that way. Not practicing anymore. He's an attorney. He passed the bar. And he lives out in the Conway area. He's by phone with us this morning, and so is Robert Steinbach. He, as you know, since he's been with my show for so many years, is a law professor at the Bowen School of Law, and he joins us as well today. So I'm gonna bring it around to Robert right now. Yesterday, the Attorney General of the United States held a quick press conference. I won't say it was a press conference. It was more of a statement. Conference.
Yeah.
And he came forward. And by the way, we found out that the FBI was at Trump's house down there in Florida for over 9 hours.
Nine hours.
That is a, and there's like 30 of them. I mean, that's a lot of people that's on your property at that point. And two main things that came out is that the AG said he instructed Florida authorities to unseal the search warrant obtained to raid former President Donald Trump's retreat, along with a property receipt showing items seized by the FBI during their hours-long search of Trump's Southern White House. Biden's attorney general also said, because there was questions about this, that he personally approved seeking the warrant that led to the raid on the former president's home, something Garland said his department does not take lightly. So I'm going to say that that's the two main things that came out yesterday. And interesting that Garland finally came out and said he was the one that ordered it, because so many people were asking, you know, what was the president doing and all of that. So what Garland did is he's taken out his sword and put the point of it against his stomach, and he said, basically, I'll fall on my sword if I have to and take responsibility for all of this. But the thing that's very interesting on this is I listened to the analysts talk about this yesterday for a while, Robert, and they talked about there is a difference between affidavits and warrants. And then tell us about this whole unsealed process. Is this where the AG, since they're the ones that are the ones that initiated the action, can say, we're not going to show you why we did this exactly because we don't need to tip our hands about what we did?
Essentially. So let me answer all those questions in course. An affidavit is a sworn statement, a written sworn statement. So as part of the process to get a warrant, a search warrant, typically there are two ways, but one way is you go through a judge. The other way is you go through a standing grand jury. We're not going to talk about that at the moment because it didn't apply here. And so you go to a judge. Who is you? The prosecutor goes to a judge and said, the police came to me, the law enforcement came to me, and there is an issue. We need to go search for drugs in John Smith's house. Well, since the prosecutor isn't involved directly in the investigation, he needs a statement from that law enforcement officer to turn over to the judge that is sworn to, that says, yes, we've observed these people going in and out with empty duffel bags and piles of cash and turning around with filled duffel bags and no cash. You know, obviously, I'm making it up. So that's the affidavit, the law enforcement officer's statement written down describing the facts that create, quote, probable cause, end quote, that a crime has been committed and therefore entitling law enforcement to a search, because the Fourth Amendment says you don't get a search of people's
property and personal goods unless there is a good reason to do so. And the courts have correctly essentially said that a good reason is that there's probable cause, that we understand there's a good likelihood that there's criminal activity that has been underfoot. That's the affidavit. When the judge reads that, if he agrees, he or she agrees, then he signs the document allowing that search, and that's the warrant. In fact, Chris had a case, I helped him on that case, in which Chris owned a piece of property in North Little Rock, and the the fire inspector broke in to the property claiming, oh, well, we got to check if it's safe or not. The problem is that their affidavit wasn't an affidavit, and their warrant wasn't a warrant. They didn't fulfill the legal requirements for either one, and as a consequence, we aptly called it in our lawsuit against the city of Little Rock an almost affidavit, a wannabe warrant. And the result was that Chris got a check for $10,000 from the city of North Little Rock for violating his rights, because our rights.
All right, I want you to hold your powder. We'll come back after the news. You can talk further about this and give us all the small items on this so we can understand it. I tell you, there's nothing worse than being caught on the side of the road and your car breaks down. Stinks. Really does. I hate that when it happens. I hate it especially when it's one of those like 100 degree days and now your car's broke down, you don't have any air conditioning, you're over on the shoulder, and you're melting just about literally. Or you're out there and it's raining cats and dogs and you're stuck out in the weather. Well, that's where East End Towing comes in, how they can help you out. You break down, they come and get you. And they know all the intricacies of towing. For instance, if you're on public property, if you're on private property, do they need to take your car where you tell them to take your car? And all of those questions, they've got the answers to, and they'll work with you so that you don't end up being put somewhere in a impound yard somewhere where the just as soon as they pull it through the gate, the cash register starts clicking off. So you talk to East End Towing if you find that you're stuck and you need some help, whether your car broke down, whether your trailer that you're pulling broke down, whether your, we said trailer, but your camper broke down, any of those things. They know what to do. They can handle the situation. Call East End Towing, 501-888-8849. That's 501-888-8849. If you just joined us, we talked about they're going to put the marijuana, the whole thing about recreational marijuana, they're going to put that on the ballot come November. And then if there's some things they got to iron out after that, they're going to do it. Then we moved right into what's going on with the president being raided earlier this week. Merrick Garland, the AG for the United States, gave a statement yesterday. He said, I'm the guy who ordered it, and I've been asking Robert some questions about what's an affidavit. What's a warrant and what to it? Now, let me see if I've got this right. The affidavit is a sworn document, which would be sworn before a person at the court or whatever?
Just a notary. It just needs to be. It just needs to say that it's truthful. So it doesn't need to be sworn before anybody significant, a notary republic typically.
Okay. And then the warrant basically lays out what it is that you want to do. I want a warrant to go in and check Dave Elzick's property for this or that.
That's the motion for the warrant. The warrant is the thing the judge actually orders. The warrant's the judge's order, in other words.
Okay. And so the judge writes that up, and then it's somehow got a seal of the state or the seal of the country or whatever they put on it. And then they serve it to you at the location or to somebody at the location. I mean, if it's on your house, you don't have to be there. Is that correct?
Yeah, generally, if they have a search warrant for a place and you're not there, they're entitled to break in.
Wow. Okay. So we've got that all set up. We've explained it to everybody. So Merrick Garland says, okay, unseal all of this. In other words, he had put it out. The judge had said, yeah, we're going to keep this sealed. You guys don't need to see all of this yet because we don't want to screw our case up or something or give the guy a chance to get off on a technicality. And then the judge maybe says at that point, I'm going to unseal this. That means we're going to let everybody know what's going on here. Am I on the right track?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because, of course, a warrant generally is filed in a secret way. That's what under seal means. Most cases, you can go to the computer and pull up everything that's filed. Well, you can't pull up... I'm sorry, Dave.
That's all right.
You can't pull up a search warrant because could you imagine then organized crime would sit in front of a computer all day just checking every time a filing was made and says, oh, John Smith's house is going to be searched for illegal drugs. And then organized crime would contact John Smith. In this hypothetical, John Smith works for this organized crime syndicate and say, hey, clean out all the drugs because they're coming over this afternoon. So obviously that's kept secret. Once the search warrant is executed, then the need for secrecy goes away. And at some point, by the way, it does go away, albeit I don't know exactly at what point. Certainly at the point that after the evidence is taken and the defendant, let's say someone gets arrested, the defendant wants to challenge the legitimacy of that search warrant. Hey, that affidavit wasn't right. That warrant wasn't right. Because that's exactly what Chris and I did in North Little Rock. So once the defendant gets it, it's not under seal relative to him, and he can make it public. But here, so far, this is just a day after, Trump didn't make it public because he's in the middle of fighting, you know, what's going on the ground. And Merrick Garland says, well, we see all this stuff in the press saying that we didn't do this right, so we want to make it public up front. But instead of just turning it over to the public, we're going to check with the court to make sure that's the right thing to do. And actually, on that point, Merrick Garland got it right. That's the smarter move, the smarter way to do it. And now Trump responded, by the way, and he says, fine by me. Fine by me. So we're going to see it, I expect, shortly. And well, now we can make an informed decision as to whether the allegations in the affidavit and therefore adopted in the warrant justify breaking into an ex-president's house.
Yeah, and I guess, and you can talk about this, Chris, there's going to be a receipt, and the receipt is anything that they remove from that house, they write out a receipt. We took this, we took that, and whatnot, and now we'll know what they remove, correct?
That's right. So, yeah, so this whole process is the bedrock of the United States democracy. So the process is under seal, in secret, an affidavit is sworn out and sent to a judicial officer. And then in that affidavit, there has to be a description of probable cause. The judge then looks at that affidavit and says, okay, you saw so-and-so dealing drugs at this house. Okay, you get the right to go search this house. All that's done under seal. You can't see it. Then the judge signs the warrant. Then the warrant has to do several things. It's got to, and this is, I've argued this in court, and the consequences of not doing this correct is that the evidence gets suppressed in a trial. Well, what a great step. If they illegally seized it, then the prosecution can't use it. But in that warrant, it says several things, but basically it says you must state or describe with particularity the following things. The identity of the judicial officer that signed the warrant.
All right.
Reasonable cause used.
So then, so let me jump in. So what's happening now is that we're getting down to specifics, correct?
Right. Yeah, the identity of the person to be searched, the location of it, and the designation. So that warrant says you have to search the safe. You can only search the safe in the house at this address. A warrant can say that. But if they search the whole house, and they do the search goes outside of the scope of the warrant, it can potentially be suppressed. And then, so what you're talking about is the warrant gets returned and there's an inventory taken of everything seized. And then all this becomes public.
Okay.
Then it becomes public. You get to look at it and go, oh, man, they seized this. They seized his car, his file cabinet, files, his contents of a safe, the inventory of a safe, a pearl necklace, a diamond ring, $10,000 cash. So this is, yeah, so this is right on point. I love the law around warrants and affidavits. They have to do it just right. And in the case we litigated, I loved calling the an almost affidavit and a wannabe warrant. And if you screw this process up, then evidence gets suppressed.
Yeah, bottom line is they don't have to say why they took some items, but people might kind of look a little askance at, they took this and that. What's the problem with people are going to start thinking different things, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here when all of this becomes public.
Well, there's also another requirement, Dave. It's kind of, you have to serve the warrant between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. You can't do it at 2 o'clock in the morning. How interesting is that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a way of making sure they don't just wake you up in the middle of the night after you've been asleep, dead asleep, and you're not got all your faculties about you, and they come into your house.
We talk about it all the time, Dave. These rights are to protect yourself from the government.
Uh-huh.
Right? Free speech, the right to bear arms, all these rights are there to protect the American citizens from the government. It's a pretty simple concept.
Yeah, and for its time, when it happened, it was just unbelievably radical.
Oh, yeah, man, it's fantastic. It's the bedrock of our society.
Yeah, now it is. Used not be, but you know what? Some of the people at the top in the powerful positions have figured out ways to skirt around the issue when they want to.
Yeah, and this leads right into one of the topics you had mentioned today about armed IRS agents.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
How do you think these officers that issue this search warrant have the power? They have the power because they've got a loaded weapon on their hip. If you answer the door and you say, no, you can't come in, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to pull the guns on you and arrest you for obstruction of justice.
You know, something,
that's how it goes down.
Something I thought about this, Robert, is they pull the guns on you and they arrest you because you won't give them the ability to come on your premises.
That's right.
What's to keep a judge then from saying that you're a danger to your community and not sending the people in? They know that you got guns on the premises. They send them in and they confiscate all of your weapons.
Yep.
Well, those are separate laws about whether you're entitled to confiscate weapons. And, of course, part of that debate gets into these would-be red flag laws.
Exactly.
That are dangerous in terms of the lack of due process. So it's, you know, all of these rights exist, to be clear, to protect innocent people. And so one of the problems I think we as conservatives sometimes have, albeit not on these issues typically, is that we say, well, you know, if you're innocent, then it shouldn't be an issue. And the problem is, if we start taking away civil liberties from innocent people, guess what? Then all of a sudden, we're going to have people in jail that don't belong in jail. Something bad is going to happen, and they're going to get arrested for something that is incidental to a bad process when they've never done anything wrong in the first place. So don't think that all of these rules exist merely to excessively protect people who have committed crimes, albeit they're entitled to protection as well. These rules perhaps primarily are designed to protect the innocent. And so sometimes guilty people even go free in order to protect the innocent. And that's a good thing. And you might say, it's a good thing that innocent people go free? No, the second part is the good part. That is protecting the innocent. And there's a cost to that.
All right. Let's take a break, then we'll come back, and we'll finish up the hour. I got a lot of other things I want to deal with today, especially those IRS agents getting guns, and what is that all about? We'll talk about it here during this morning's edition of the Dave Ellswick Show. My guest, Robert Steinbach from the Bowen School of Law. He's a law professor. His opinions are his and his alone. And Chris Corbett is here. And Chris is a lawyer over in Conway. He's a five-generation Arkansan. And he joins us and is a part of the Dave Ellswick Show every Friday, as is Robert, to look into these issues that we're talking about right now. This helped hope. Hopefully, after we get done talking about this, you'll understand better what's going on and why it's important that we're sure that they're doing what they are legally can do. Because if they can go in and just check on the president's house, what about you? That's something to keep in mind. All right, 10 minutes to 7, Dave Ellswick Show. Don't forget about Hillcrest Designer Jewelry, 3000 Cavanaugh, Suite E. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. Eric is there at that time. Stop by, visit him, go inside, look in the cases. Get all kinds of beautiful, beautiful jewelry for you to look at. Or if you want to go talk to him about making a, you know, unique, creative design that you want personally made by him, he'll talk to you about that, and he'll work with you to design it to look exactly like you want it to look. And if it happens to be an engagement ring, you know what your fiance would like. You're going to pass all that information on to Eric, and he's going to try to bring it into reality for you. Again, 3000 Cavanaugh, Suite E, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. If you just want to call him and maybe make an appointment so you know when you go over there, he'll be there, and you can sit down and he'll block off some time to talk to you. 501-246-3655. Go with the best jeweler in the area. That's Eric Coleman and Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. All right, now we've done all of this groundwork with both of you, Robert and Chris, to get to this point of the show. What's next? The president says, hey, unseal this stuff and let's get it done as quickly as possible. So what do you guys see as being the next things that people are going to learn about? Now, let's start it off with you, Robert.
We're going to see the basis for why the Department of Justice thought it necessary to raid the house of a former president to determine whether there were records that belonged back at the government, not in the hands of the now private person, the former president. And so there are two questions, at least. One question is there an apt conclusion that or implication, suggestion that the president still has records that somehow belong to the government, and if so, how important are they, right? Because we don't search just for anything. We search if there's an important issue, particularly when the search involves a former president, not because there are two levels of justice, but because of the concern, the risk, particularly in this case, where Trump has the potential to run for president again, of political interference. So that's what we hopefully will see in the affidavit and in the warrant, whether, to be clear, whether that bar has been chinned.
Okay, so the question in my mind is, is this a real deal, or is this nothing more than another adventure in government and Nixonian in personality of what they're doing?
That's right. Is this government overreach or not? You know, when the left complained over and over again, oh my goodness, people like Flynn and Trump are saying, lock her up about Hillary, where there were real, right? Remember, Hillary got official, secret government records over her personal email, because she decided that she wasn't going to use the government email system,
right?
And then destroyed them. So destruction of records is also a legal issue. And There was no prosecution. There was no search warrant, to the best of my knowledge. And so, nonetheless, the president and Flynn and others said, lock her up. And they said, how dare you say that? You can't say that about a political candidate. And I said at the time, and I repeat now, well, you can't blanket say that a political candidate can't be guilty of a crime. It's one thing to falsely accuse, but the flip side is that they can commit crimes like anybody else. And so the same is true here. You can't falsely accuse the former president of committing a crime, but it doesn't mean that he couldn't commit a crime. And so we have to see whether the government chinned that bar or this looks like political retribution. I don't have any faith in Merrick Garland. When I hear him speak, he doesn't give me any confidence. He reads these statements, whether they're written by him or somebody else, like a teleprompter. And so you really get no sense of individual beliefs when you listen to him. So I want to see what's actually in the documents rather than listening to him make his anodyne statements to the press.
All right, guys, we got to take a break for the news. When we come back, we got more things to talk about. Let's talk about inflation. The president says, inflation, what stinking inflation? Which brings us up to lies, damn lies, and statistics. We'll talk about it all in the next hour on the Dave Elswick Show. Another hour of the Dave Elswick Show on a Friday with you. Don't forget, during this hour, we'll have Robert Steinbach and Chris Corbett on with me. And then in the final hour, which is the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Steve Davis. He's coming in. He's the voice of the Travs. We'll talk a little bit about the Travs. But we're going to talk about them Seattle Mariners. They're in the playoff hunt right now, and that's a big deal for the franchise, so we're going to talk about that. And we'll also talk about at 9:35 with Matt Smith, the movie mogul here in Central Arkansas, and Hot Springs, and Little Rock, and Cabot, and Searcy, and Batesville. We'll talk about what's new at the movies this weekend, and some movies you'll probably want to go out and see this weekend. I'll tell you now, if you want to go see a family movie, go see the one about the Super Pets. I went and saw it last night. Really enjoyed it. We'll talk about it more at 9:35. But right now, let's get back on our legal professor from the Bowen School of Law, and that is, of course, Robert Steinbach. And his opinions are his and his alone, don't necessarily reflect that of the School of Law nor the university to which it belongs. And Chris Corbett is with us, an attorney over in Conway. We'll talk with him as well. And we left off. We spent almost the entire hour in the first hour talking about this raid that they did at the president's home, and also about the information that came out dealing with the marijuana law that they want to get on to the ballot, and people get to vote on it to say if they want recreational marijuana in the state of Arkansas or not. The Arkansas Supreme Court says yes. Put it on the ballot. If there's something technically wrong with it, we'll correct it after the election. So we got that out there as well. I did want to say this about what I, as we talked about this whole thing that went on and for Trump's home and all of that. This moves down all across. How much money you have, ex-president or just, you know, some guy that cleans toilets at Walmart or whatever. I mean, this is what has spurred myself using a guy who I consider is a FOIA warrior. That's a Freedom of Information Act warrior who gets in, and that's Jimmy Cavan. And he's become a part of my show. He loves doing FOIA stuff. He was turned on by your book, Robert. I mean, you know, I'm surprised.
Be careful what we mean by turned on by my.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if he has some kind of shrine to you. You know, like in that movie, about baseball, the guy that couldn't hit the curve, and he was always he had a shrine up to God to try to help him hit a curveball. But you know, I'm just wondering if he's got that
appropriate. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, he's good, man. I mean, he's really good, and we've been using FOIA. And we're doing some of the things that we've been talking about. You know, when you start talking about destruction of government records, that's important, whether it's on the federal, the state, or the local level. We're dealing with it on the local level. There's been a lot, I guess, 40-something documents about the mayor's travel. And they don't have the information of how much money he spent, what he spent on it. That's taxpayers' money we're talking about here. And if you are wantonly destroying, defacing, or I forget all the different subjects and categories that they cover on that, you can get yourself in trouble to $10,000 fine and 5 years in prison. That's how serious it is. I think it's a Class D felony is what they say. So I think it's important that we keep digging and seeing what's there and what's not there.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me, brother. The FOIA is the tool for transparency against the government or of the government. We own the government. The people own the government. The Freedom of Information Act, signed by Governor Rockefeller 54 years ago, if I have the date correct, is the best and primary tool that citizens have to evaluate the operations of government. It is necessary. It is critical. That's why I research in that issue. That's why I litigate in that issue. Chris and I currently have a case against Sheriff Higgins, for example, for the FOIA. We brought four causes of action against the sheriff, and so far the judge ruled in our favor on three of them in the following sense. Before we sued, we didn't get the records. After we sued, we got the records. So since we got the records, the court said, okay, everything's taken care of. And in fact, by the way, now we're in the process of writing up the court order. That's what happens. The lawyers write up a draft of the court order. And the other side submitted a draft, and all it says is case dismissed. And we said, wait. Case was dismissed because we won. And if you just write case dismissed, it suggests we lost. Oh, well, you see, says the other side, we don't want to get into too many details. I bet you don't. I bet you don't when all you have to do is put another line in there that says, because the plaintiff got what he wanted, the case is now dismissed. But Sheriff Higgins is as crummy a sheriff as he is a complier with the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, and that's good. Then legally, that is punishable, is it not?
It is potentially punishable criminally. We haven't pursued that, and I haven't analyzed that in great detail in terms of the facts here. But I can tell you what it is. It entitles us to attorney's fees. And
okay.
I'll take every penny of attorney's fees. People say, well, you take the government's money, and that's the people's money. That's right, because I'm doing the people's work. I'm doing the people's work of keeping the bureaucrats honest, and I should be paid for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, I hear people say, well, that Freedom of Information Act, you know, all the work that they got to do for anybody who says they make a request, that's ridiculous. And I look at them and say, okay, so what you're saying is that they should be able to determine what they want you to know.
Right.
Because if that's the case, they don't want you to know nothing.
Well, that's it. And so they say, well, because here's a related commentary here that some bureaucrats say, well, I don't have time to do that because I've got to do my job. Oh, you seemingly don't understand what the term my job means.
That's right.
That is your job. And you know how you know it's your job? Not because some more senior bureaucrat told you what your job is, because the legislature and the governor told you that that's your job via the law. So if you don't like it, if you don't want to do that, you can get plenty of jobs in which you don't have to. That's called the private sector, where your job is less guaranteed and you're not paid a steady paycheck that is guaranteed to be paid because the government ain't going bankrupt. So you decide what you want to do.
I'm with you. You know, it's just important stuff. I mean, without FOIA, and I know pre-FOIA and post-FOIA, used to be, you know, unless you had a source inside somebody, with somebody, a mayor or a governor or whatever, a police chief, you couldn't get that information unless somebody snuck it out to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Chris, you know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. I was, because your show does a great job at exploring these issues. Here's, in my opinion, what they've done to Trump, okay? It happened to General Petraeus in a classified document that he may have given to his girlfriend, right? If they can prove that then-President Trump took some classified documents or mishandled them, then he'll be guilty of a misdemeanor. He's guilty of a misdemeanor, as Petraeus pled guilty to a misdemeanor, then he can't run for office. This is all orchestrated. The bureaucrats, the bureau hacks have orchestrated this all in an effort to prevent Trump from running. It's corruption at its highest form. And
well,
it's obvious to me what they're doing.
It's like I've said, Chris, this is Nixonian. I mean, I remember when Richard Nixon was weaponizing governmental offices to go after people.
And what's the most controversial statement in our Constitution? High crimes and misdemeanors. What the heck does that mean? Well, it says misdemeanor, and it's it's potentially a felony to mishandle classified documents. But if it's squishy, these federal prosecutors get a 98% conviction rate, and he's got a tough row to hoe here if they find some classified document in that safe or something.
Yeah.
It's all an effort not to get him to run.
Yeah, I agree. I'm agreeing with you on this.
It'd go away. It'd go away if Trump said, I'm not running. It'd go away.
Yeah, probably so.
They want to make sure.
Yeah, and they didn't. They didn't go in and break into his house when he was trailing Biden. It's when, in the polls, he went beyond Biden.
Yep, here we go. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's all been politicized.
Yep.
You know, the saddest part of this, and Robert, you can speak to this, because we got to rule of law so that people in this country can feel somewhat comfortable knowing that they'll get their legal day in court, and people aren't going to just take them to the woodshed, so to speak. You got a situation here where that's, if I believe that the Democrats win on this and they are able to keep the former president from running, I think it does terrible things to the people of the United States of whether they want to vote or not.
Sure. Because it appears to be manipulation of the political process, not the proper use of the law enforcement process. That's the difficulty here. That's the challenge here. So when they said lock her up about Hillary, the left says, well, you're implicating the political process, and the response from the right was, no, we're talking about law enforcement. And here, now, the right says, you're implicating the political process, and the left says, no, we're talking about law enforcement. So as I've said all along, neither side can claim that their position exists always, meaning it's not that you can never investigate a politician, and it's not that it's always political if you do. And the reverse is, every time you use the law enforcement process, it doesn't mean that it's not political. And so you need to look at the facts of each case. The Hillary case was pretty clear to me, and therefore the claim of locking her up, albeit hyperbole done in a political environment, was certainly accurate to say it appears that she committed a crime. Now, the question here is whether there is enough, and we're going to find out in the affidavit and the warrant, to suggest that this is law enforcement, not political. We don't have a clear answer to that. For those that have made their determination that it's clearly political, I think they're getting a little bit ahead of their skis. But where they are right is, this is about whether the president has taken boxes of documents, some of which, as we know, have already been returned. So, like, why has this come such a hyper-activated event? We don't know the answer to that. Let's see what's written in these documents.
Exactly. All right, 19 after 7. Don't forget about David Lucas, what he can do for you as far as gold and silver. You need some in your nest egg right now to offset the inflation that we've been going under. And we're undergoing inflation. It's not zero inflation, okay? No matter what the president says, it is not zero inflation out there. It's 8.5% year-to-year inflation is what it is. And it's a higher for the producers as well, almost 10% as far as producers go. So, you know, David wants you to learn how to buy gold and silver. And he'll instruct you on that. He's got people that work with him. They'll sit down with you and work you out a plan where you get some precious metals into your nest egg. Call them at 501-222-3315. You need this in your nest egg. I'm just telling you right now. You need it to offset what's going on with inflation. 501-222-3315. You learn more about buying silver and gold. Again, one more time, 501-222-3315. David Lucas Financial. Investment advisory services are offered through David Lucas Financial, an Arkansas registered investment advisor. All right, I don't know what happened last night. I've been looking for information. They had a school board meeting in Little Rock, and they were going to talk about wearing masks again. In this new school year, I did not hear what they said that they wanted to do. I do have some information for you, because you won't hear a lot about this because it doesn't scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. That's kind of how, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. If it scares you, it leads on a lot of newscasts, a lot of TV stations. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that the nation should now move away from restrictive measures such as quarantines and social distancing and focused on reducing severe disease from COVID-19. In new guidelines released Thursday, the agency no longer recommends staying at least 6 feet away from other people to reduce the risk of exposure. That is, of course, a shift from guidance that had been in place since the early days of the pandemic. This is driven by a recognition that an estimated 95% of Americans 16 and older have acquired some level of immunity either from being vaccinated or infected, according to the agency. And in a sidebar note, Denmark is going even further. Essentially, they have banned COVID shots for kids. If they get kids over there, you can't even get the jab, all right? No such thing as far as that's concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, that should have happened a long time ago. But now they got this 95% mark that people have either come in contact with all these different variants of COVID, and we've you know, developed immunity and whatnot. That's good news. That's good news. Now, what that should mean is that the school board, and I don't know how they did this. I don't know if they're telling kids they got to wear masks or not. But at least maybe they won't tell them if they've got the latest information from the CDC. And I don't know if they have that or not. It's good news. as far as I'm concerned. What do you think about that, Chris? I think it's good news.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. I was typing an email. What good news on what?
Well, as far as what the CDC has said about COVID.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, the masks should be optional. They should have been optional to begin with. To force people to wear a mask was a violation of their rights. They call every cabin across the United States and schools. That needs to be a choice, you know, just as your health care is a choice. To have a mandate out there on mask mandates.
And we know from the CDC itself on some of their studies, the masks, unless you had a specific, medical one that was out there, don't work.
Yeah. And here's the other deal. You're free to wear a jumpsuit, a monkey suit, wherever you want to wear it. If that's how you want to do it, do it.
Yeah.
But for the government to come out and mandate it, that's wrong. For the government to mandate a vaccine, that's wrong.
Yeah.
There's always going to be little exceptions. People, unfortunately, some people have died from taking the vaccine. It's a small percentage, but for them to make a job choice or have to quit their job, it was wrong. And the military's suffering right now in recruitment.
Oh yeah.
One of the reasons the military's suffering in their recruitment of a volunteer soldier is that they're forcing vaccines. And we're one of the strongest armies in the world because it's volunteer. You're not conscripted into this army against your will. We've got young men like my son's 19 years old that want to serve, and he's questioning, "Well, hey, wait a minute. Hey, he got the vaccine, the first one, and I don't know if I want to take any more vaccines." I said, "Hey, they're mandating the vaccine. If you want to enlist, you got to get it, brother."
Yeah, you got to take it. It's the rules.
Optional.
All right. How about you? Does this make you feel any better, brother Robert?
Well, I've always said, as you well know, Dave, that we should not be mandating people's personal medical decisions. And I always have also said on your show that I've gotten the vaccine, and I'm okay with having gotten the vaccine. I have looked at my medical profile, consulted with my doctor, and came to the conclusion that that was the right thing for me. And I don't regret it. Some people say, well, okay, maybe, but I do not regret having gotten vaccinated. I'm not trying to sell the vaccine. I'm not trying to eschew the vaccine. The point is, I get to make that decision about myself. As I said when I testified before the legislature, I'm as about interested in someone giving me a vaccine against my will as I am about as interested in having someone giving me a colonoscopy against my will. You can keep your product outside of my body until I say it's okay to come in.
All right, if you're having breakfast right now, I apologize for Robert Steinbach. All right, we're going to take a break here and then and do some information for you, some more content, then I'll be back. And maybe tough to get in the military, not to get in the IRS. Back with you, of course, Robert Steinbach is with us, a law professor over at the Bowen School of Law. His opinions are his and his alone. And then Chris is here, Chris Corbett. He's a lawyer out of Conway. These guys join me every Friday to talk about the parts of stories most people aren't talking about. I mean, content is king here, so we try to make sure that we do as much as we can to give you as much content as we can as you try to understand what's going on in our country and your world around you. Before we get into talking about the IRS, let's talk a little bit about ICU protection. I mean, if you want your home protected, you're going to use ICU protection. I signed up with them now 3 months ago, and they've been fantastic. The system works flawlessly. I got a couple of cameras at my house now. I've got all my doors and my windows have sensors on them. They're protected. And if anything happens, it immediately goes to my smartphone, and I can watch it in real time and see what's happening at the homestead. That gives me a little bit, as I like to say, I feel a lot better if something like that if something's happening at my house, I'm being notified of it, and I can see it. because, you know, Linda might be still home or whatever, and or maybe I got some visitors or whatever. I want to know what's going on and get that information as quick as possible. Plus, it goes up in the cloud. It can't be messed with. So if the police need the video, I can download it out of the cloud, and they can have it, and they can use it to prosecute people that, you know, broke into my house and took whatever they took, or threatened whoever they threatened, or whatever happened at my house. Call them at 501-205-1333. 501-205-1333. Here's the great thing also about ICU. First of all, know that they're the people who do the protection out at Nuke One. And since I don't have a reactor sitting in my living room, it gives me that extra ability to believe these guys can do what they say they're going to do, since, you know, that's what Nuke One has. They got a big reactor that makes a lot of power for the state of Arkansas. On top of that, you will pay for the service. Of course, you know that you're going to do that. What you won't do is pay for the hardware. And they don't massage that into your weekly charge. No, that's not the way that they do it. They have a weekly charge that you pay to use their service. And the hardware that they install in your house or in your business is yours absolutely free. All right, that's ICU Protection. You talk to Billy Mack. He's the owner. You'll like the guy. You probably end up going out and have lunch with him. 501-205-1333, Billy Mack and ICU Protection. All right, so it looks like the Inflation Reduction Act is going to be voted on today by the House. It looks like they have enough votes. Let me just say this. Pelosi wouldn't allow it to come to a vote if she didn't know she had the necessary votes to pass the bill. She would not be embarrassed by that. So don't expect that if they say they're going to vote on it, it's going to become law and it's going to go to Biden for his signature. When it does, then there's a part of this about, they say, to reduce inflation, they got to hire another 80,000 IRS agents. Understand right now that in the IRS there's about 80,000 people working for them. So they're going to double their employment with this particular piece of legislation. On top of that, something that's going to happen is that these IRS agents that they're hiring will be able to carry firearms, semi-automatic handguns, 9mm to be exact. And when they put in their application, one of the questions that they are asked is, do you have any problem in using deadly force? Now, as you've watched what's happened down in Florida to the president, and if they can go into the president's house and harass him, what can they do to you? And what can an IRS agent do if they show up at your home? They're walking around with a 9mm. They said, we need to come into your house. We got a search warrant or something like that. We're going to come into your house. You go, no, you can't. Well, they're going to pull guns. That's what's going to happen. They have guns. They can pull the guns. Now, what happens if you have a gun and you feel like they're trying to do more than they're supposed to, and there's some, you end up with bloodshed, or you get a discharge of a weapon? Here's what I worry about. You have an IRS agent. He comes over. You say, well, you can come into my house, you know, over my dead body, and you're carrying. Well, he can go to a judge then and said, you're a danger. And if you're a danger, they can come into your house and take away your guns. Now, just start putting these dots together. And be careful that when you start making steps that gives the government a lot of totalitarian powers, you probably will not get those rights back. So when you start hearing red flag laws, you make sure you tell your legislator, vote no on them. So we'll open this one up to Chris and to Robert. So let me start off with you, Chris. You've been fighting about the ability for people to carry firearms in places that it's legal. and how some people are keeping you from doing that and telling other Arkansans they can't do it, even though the law says that they can. And then we know about this whole thing about going in and trying to take away people's weapons at home, without due process.
Man, it's very interesting. So you got to have a steel trap for a mind, right? And I try to, but I fail. But here's what's interesting. We mentioned on the radio a week ago or so about the IRS buying up bullets. Why would the IRS need to be buying up bullets? Wouldn't that better be served in the Border Patrol or Homeland Security? So, and why are we hiring 80,000 more IRS agents to police our own citizens when we really need to be hiring 80,000 Border Patrol agents to protect our borders? When you put those two things up next to each other, something smells funny.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look right. It doesn't seem right because it's not right. What they're doing is calling this Inflation Reduction Act. It's not. How is hiring 80,000 more IRS agents going to reduce inflation? And let's talk about just the statistics on audits. Right now, I was looking the other day, 50,000 audits were done on people making over 100 grand. 800,000 audits were performed on people making less than 75,000. Now, what kind of disparity? What in the world? So what that means is these new 80,000 agents are going to hammer middle-class Americans.
And Chris, let's talk about that. Why is that? Yeah. Because the average Joe can't afford all the lawyers that the rich guy has.
That's right. That's right. The rich guy is going to hire an accountant, lawyer. That IRS agent ain't going to get to the guy making $500,000 a year, because he's going to send his tax accountant down there and his lawyer down there, and they're going to figure it out. The guy making under $75,000 is going to go say, "What? I didn't have a receipt. I owe more money. Well, how am I going to pay for that?" It's a slap in the face to middle class that's struggling with gas prices, that's struggling with buying eggs and bread with inflation.
No, wait a second. Wait. No, the president stood in front of the American people just the other day and said, there's no inflation. That's what he told them. There's no inflation. So if there's no inflation, why do we need this bill, Robert?
Well, that's a good question, right? It's all make-believe. When the gas prices have come down 20 or 40 cents. No, they've only gone up $2 now instead of $2.50.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right. And the only reason that they've gone down is because they went up so high, people changed their way of living and started driving less, so they're using less oil by over a million barrels a week. That's the reason gas prices are going down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there you go.
I mean, that's what's happening here. That's where we get into lies, damn lies, and statistics. That's exactly what the president tried to do the other day. We know that what they're talking about is year to year, not month to month. Month to month, some things go up, other things go down. Then maybe the next month, the things that went down go back up, and the things that went up, they go down. But overall, when you average it all out, year to year, we're up 8.5% on what we're paying on.
That's right. You know,
it's ridiculous.
And then let's throw that in, that when your IRS audit happens, which more are going to happen next year, he's got a firearm on his side.
Yeah.
How are you going to feel is this guy a law enforcement officer? No, an IRS agent in a law enforcement officer. He's not a Leo. I tell you what, I'll be offended. If they're bringing their guns, I'm bringing my guns.
Yeah, well, I think that, count me, cynical, but if they can do some of the stuff that they can do, because they say you challenged them or whatever, and so they want your guns, I believe that they're going to try to do it, because the left, this is their wet dream, exactly what they're trying to do. Take your guns. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. And everybody better be aware of this. Think about this. 80,000 IRS agents, that is over five divisions of military people.
Dang.
That's a lot of people.
That's right. And that's it's an army. It's an army. And where that money needs to be spent is local police officers. We've got over 40 or 50 positions that are open in Little Rock. Crime's rampant. And what's the federal government doing? The federal government's letting so-called protests, right? They're tearing down buildings. The federal government let all this go on and didn't prosecute them, these folks that were tearing down Portland, Oregon. We had fires in Little Rock.
Yep.
And now they're going to hire some IRS agents. This is all that's going to do is oppress the middle class of America. That's what it's going to do.
Well, just understand what Biden did the other day when he said, hey, look, inflation is zero. All right. He's doing the exact same thing that the mayor of Little Rock did, Scott, when he stood up and said, hey, crime is down 3%. Vicious crime is down 3%, but he doesn't talk about overall it went up 17%, so really it's a 14% increase still. But he's talking about it was only, you know, it's down 3%. It's the whole thing. You know, figures don't lie, but liars figure. I'm just telling you. That's just the way it is. All right, we got to get another break in. We'll come back. We'll finish it up here on the Dave Elswick Show for a Friday with my two legal beagles, and that, of course, is Robert Steinbach and Chris Corbett on the Dave Elswick Show. Don't forget about Pat Davis. He's been talking to you throughout this morning about what he can do for you as far as health insurance is concerned, and you need to talk to him. Seriously, save yourself some money. There are plans that you can have that will not have any deductions in it that you've got to pay. That right up at the very top, you don't have to take care of that. They won't have any copays. He can help you with that. If you're self-employed, he can help you with health insurance. If you're a small business owner, he can help you keep your people with insurance so that when you go out and open up a position that you need a good, strong candidate for, one of the questions you're going to want to know is what kind of medical, you know, insurance do you have? You'll be able to tell them, I got some of the best around, and you'll get it when you work for me. So if it comes between that and a company that doesn't offer that and everything else being equal, you'll probably get that really good candidate working for you. All right, so save 30 to 50% on your health insurance. What you got to do, you got to call Pat Davis, 501-605-6935. Call Pat. He's your health plan man, and you can visit him there online, yourhealthplanman.com. All right, we're down to just a few minutes left here for the last half hour at the Dave Elswick Show, early morning edition. We'll be back at 9 o'clock, and we'll pick it up there with Steve Davis, the voice of the Travs. We're going to talk a little baseball today. There's some things to talk about with the Travs. They've been playing pretty well here in the second half, and we got big news about what's going on with the Seattle Mariners, or their parent club, because right now they're sitting in a position to make the playoffs, and I don't know how long it's been since the Mariners have been viable playoff opponents. So we'll talk about that. And Matt Smith talked to us about what's playing at the movies and what you should be thinking about maybe going to see over the weekend when you're looking for some entertainment, what's happening. Let's talk about a story, guys, again. Let's go back and re-talk about this, because people who weren't listening right at the very beginning of this show when we talked about it should know about it now. And that is the Arkansas Supreme Court ordered that a ballot question regarding the legalization of recreational marijuana must be added to the November election conditionally. That according to what the Supreme Court said. What this means is in a court order, a motion was approved to expedite the case and issue a preliminary injunction. It's reported that Secretary of State John Thurston was ordered to conditionally certify the petitioner's proposed amendment pending the court's decision on the overall case. The appeal was brought on behalf of the Responsible Growth Arkansas. That's a ballot question committee that turned in 89,151 valid signatures, and they had well over 20,000-30,000 more that they could have had counted. But, you know, John Thurston's office counts up to what you have to have, and if you've got those certified, you're in. You don't. They don't even worry about the rest of them. Why spend the time counting them? The signatures were approved by the Secretary of State's office, but ultimately the ballot was rejected by the Arkansas Board of Election Commissioners because the limitation on THC was not included in the title. The issue will be before voters during the midterm elections this fall, but whether it becomes law after a popular vote still remains now uncertain. So we will see exactly what happens with that. Again, this goes back to a commission who made the decision that they weren't going to put it on the ballot. Now the Supreme Court said, yeah, put it on the ballot. We'll work out the small details later on. So it's going to make for an interesting election come November. I think it's the 8th, if I'm not mistaken, here in 2023. We're not that far away from that. We're getting close to going out and vote time, guys. Again, I think we all agree this was a right decision by the Arkansas Supreme Court.
100%.
Yes, indeed, right? Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, 100%. What we talked about before was that we had, I think there's three people on the election commission. So basically they usurped 100,000 Arkansas citizens and said that, no, this ballot title is misleading. They, what? Really? No. And so they filed suit, and now it's going to be on the ballot for a constitutional amendment for recreational marijuana. And it so be it. Let the people vote. The government's for the people, by the people, and of the people. But here we go. Why should three people in a appointed by the governor, you be able to usurp the will of the people?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think the Supreme Court fell on the correct side on this. And let's give you the final say here, Robert. You got 60 seconds.
Well, I think we've covered it all. So here's what I'll say. Go out. Have a great day. It's wonderful to be in Arkansas. God bless Arkansas. God bless America.
All right. Robert Steinbach, Chris Corbett, thank you, gentlemen. I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Dave Elswick Show. I'll be back in an hour for all of you folks out there that are listening right now. Join me back at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk a little baseball. We'll talk a little movies. That's all coming your way here on the Dave Elswick Show. O'clock. Let's go the last hour here for a week on the Dave Elswick Show. And I'm happy today because Steve Davis is in here in the studio. We're going to talk a little Travs here for a moment. And, you know, anytime I can take a break from talking politics and talk baseball, I'd much rather talk baseball. But I want to talk about the Seattle Mariners. Seattle Mariners were one of the hottest teams in baseball before the All-Star break. And from what I'm seeing, it looks like they're playing a little bit above 500 ball right now. And they're sitting in a pretty sweet spot right now that they may make the playoffs. Now, it may be as a second wild card, but if you make it, play that game, win, then you got it's wide open in front of you.
Yeah, it's changed this year. Three wild cards now in each league.
Okay.
So the second and third, actually, it's not even a one-game playoff anymore. It's a best-of-three series in that first round for the lowest division champ and the three wild cards. But the lowest division champ and the first wild card host the entire series. So there's plenty of incentive to keep playing, even if you're locked into making a wild card spot. But, yeah, what you said is correct. The Mariners are playing not well above, but significantly above 500.
Right.
And that win streak you mentioned, 14 games in a row going into the All-Star break, got them on the right track and showed that they are for real. And they've continued to play that well. They just took the season series from the Yankees. Took back-to-back series from New York, and first time since 2002 they'd done that. The Mariners are doing it with pitching. They're doing it with several former Travs sprinkled into that the pitching staff and the lineup as well. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez, the headliner in the lineup, he's just back from the injured list. He's missed the last week and a half, and they still took a series from the Yankees without Julio. They're for real. They're going to make some noise. They went out and got the best pitcher available at the deadline, Luis Castillo, who's a true ace type. You throw him in a rotation with Robbie Ray and Logan Gilbert and Marco Gonzalez, George Kirby. Yeah, that's a legit rotation now. I'm excited for this Mariners team.
Yeah, I think they
can make
some noise.
Following them closely because they're the Travs parent club. I think they've got a shot, actually, to get to that first wild card. Probably not to win the division. Houston's so good and so far ahead.
No, they're not going to win division.
Saw a chart yesterday, though. Easiest, hardest schedules remaining based on winning percentage of your opponents. Mm-hmm. Mariners have the easiest schedule remaining based on opponent winning percentage in all of Major League Baseball right
now. That's what you want.
So you've got a chance, if you go out and take care of business against teams who are below you in the standings, to really make a move and put some pressure on teams in front of you.
Okay, I would say the Mariners are the biggest surprise, except you got the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes.
Nobody thought the Baltimore Orioles had a chance, you know, and they had put it together.
The Orioles went from losing over 100 the last 4 years in a row, something mm-hmm. like that, to being not just 500 for a while, but being above 500, traded two of their best guys at the deadline a couple weeks ago, and they're still above 500, still winning games.
Hang on, baby, I'm telling you, they may get in.
The competitiveness of that team is impressive. Now, that said, I didn't think the Mariners were a surprise. I think the even Mariners folks expected that this year. Now, if you talk to the advanced stats people, what the Mariners did last year was a bit of a fluke because they won so many close games, but they won 90 games a season ago. So I think the Mariners had expectations to go win 90 or so again this year and take a step forward, even though they knew they needed to play better to do that. But they're back to doing what they did last year of winning the close games, winning the one-run games to be able to get those extra victories to bump up. But, yeah, the Orioles, I don't know how they're doing it. When you look at the ALE standings, it always boggles my mind to see Tampa Bay still up there. And they're not as good as they've been the last couple years, but they're still right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are an absolute juggernaut this year, and they've hit a downstretch. I think they've lost like 8 of their last 10 or something like that. But then you look at the bottom, and it's the Red Sox. How are the Red Sox at the bottom of the AL East?
That is probably maybe the biggest surprise this year, except for the Mets being so terrible. I think people expected the Mets to be a lot better this year.
You think the Mets aren't as good as they should be?
No.
They have the best record in the National League.
Yeah, they should be better.
They're really good. And they're really fun, too.
Yeah, well, I like watching them, other than I hate them for 1969. But other than that, I love watching them.
I think that Mets team is great for the media. It's great for the fans. They're fun. They're interesting. They provide drama. They provide star power. I don't know. It's kind of like the Red Sox were about 20 years ago when they broke the curse, and everybody like jumped on board with the Red Sox because they weren't the Yankees.
You're right.
It feels like it's the Mets, and you're like, but they're still in New York. From the outside, you're like, yeah, it's New York. But then you look at the big picture, and you're like, yeah, they're little brother in New York, though, and it's kind of this fun little story, even though they've got the multi-billionaire funding them now.
Here's what I'll say. At least they're not Atlanta.
I like the Braves.
Oh, I hate Atlanta. Here's the reason I hate Atlanta. All right, it's consider me picky, okay?
Obviously,
but they won pennants left and right, mm-hmm. but then they'd go to the series and they'd lay an egg,
right?
And I couldn't have any respect for them.
Okay,
you know, And they had Greg Maddux, and he should have still been a Cub. So, anyway.
I was waiting for that.
What can I say? That wasn't Greg Maddux's fault, man.
No,
that was Wrigley's fault.
Yeah, Cubs didn't offer quite as much money.
Yeah, and Wrigley knew, and he had the money to offer. There's no doubt about it.
From what I understand, if I recall correctly, they didn't think Maddux was going to get as much as he got offered.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can't fault somebody for taking more money.
I don't blame Greg for that at all. I mean, went into the hall with a Cubs hat on.
Right.
You know, that's all really matters to me.
Pitched in the World Series wearing the other hat, though.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. He was a great pitcher. My God, he was a great pitcher. Not overpowering fastball, but he was one of those people who can literally put the ball exactly where he was throwing.
Yeah.
I loved him. Who was the guy he pitched with that calls baseball?
John Smoltz.
Smoltz. Yeah, I lay a lot of credibility on him when he's talking during a game. He knows what he's talking about. So does Steve Stone, but got him fired.
No. So did you watch your Cubs last night in the Field of Dreams game?
I did not. Believe it or not, Thursday nights are my night to go see a movie with my wife, and then it's a movie I'll talk about here in a half hour about going to see. I went and saw Super Pets last night.
Ooh,
which was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I liked it. I'm a comic, you know, freak, geek, whatever you want to call me, and it really played well off of the DC Comics in the movie, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So I'll be talking about that later. Right now we're talking baseball. We're really talking life here. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, the Cubs won last night. They've had, you know, for the way things are, they've had a pretty good season. They're still rebuilding. Next year, I'll be expecting much bigger things out of them. I think it's interesting that they held on to the catcher and that they held on to Happ, to be honest. More so that they held on to Happ. I thought that he was gone. I really did. Mm-hmm. They could have marketed him and got maybe some young pitching that they could have put down in the minor league. So we'll have to watch and see what happens there.
It will be interesting. But what a scene last night out there at near Dyersville, Iowa. Just perfect weather again. And it looks like a movie, which obviously they filmed a movie there for
a reason.
But the 2 years in a row now, MLB's hit a home run with those games out there.
And they said that the viewership was huge for the game last night. And that's good, because a lot of people think of baseball as being so old school. And they've changed a few things on to move them from that. But for instance, I'll tell you one thing they did that's really good. Now all the players have their own theme songs, kind of like professional wrestling. And when they come up to the plate, they're playing their theme song. That's long overdue. They should have done that a long time ago. But you got to add a little bit of excitement and fun that way for the younger generation. But, you know, look, I like a pitching duel.
Me too.
People don't. You know that we're freaks about that.
I know. I think a lot of people like it. People want action, but I think if you're getting pitches that aren't taking 25 seconds between pitches and guys who work quick and throw strikes, I think people can embrace that even if it's not a bunch of home runs.
I like pitchers that get up on the mound and get their business done. Mm-hmm. All right, I like hitters that get in the box and want to hit the ball. Okay, that they're not stepping out and putting their hand up. Give me a couple. I know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a lot of baseball is based on timing. I'll tell you that right now. Pitchers like once they get into their motion and get going. We don't want to be stopped. All right, and if you can do that a few times, it'll piss the pitcher off, and you get them out of the game a little bit. You get in their head a little bit, and most of us who pitched were head people anyway. Pretty easy to screw with us.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Well, you're a pitcher?
No, I didn't play anything at a high level. I was an observer.
Oh, okay. You played the game, though, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, played some Little League or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
You got a taste of the game.
I learned the failure of baseball.
There's more failure than there is, you know, success.
Yes.
People don't understand that. It's not an easy game to play. It's hard to hit a ball at 105 miles an hour coming at you.
For some of us, it's hard to hit a ball coming a lot less than that.
It's fairly difficult. It's not easy to do.
But loved every second of it.
I mean, whatever job you could have that you do it successfully, 285, percentage wise, that you fail 80% of the time.
Yeah,
probably wouldn't hold a job very long.
No, you wouldn't. Different standards, though.
Yeah,
different
you better be able to hit your weight. That's all I'll say.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want...
as big as some of these guys are now.
Yeah, you don't want Lasorda saying something to you. I mean, he's passed, of course, but to say, yeah, he falls out of the boat, he can't even hit water.
Yeah,
that's not true. You don't want somebody talking about you that way. All right, we got to get a break in. Let's do that. We got Steve here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Travs when we come back, because they're having an all right second half. Not bad. It's good to go out and see them. You're going to see a competitive product on the stage. You know, that's the key. What you don't want to do is have a team that everybody knows your chances of winning are not good. And so the only reason I'm going is because I can get my bologna sandwich. You know,
that's a reason to go right there.
Yeah, but it is a reason. I have one every time that I go see the Travs. We'll talk more about the Travs. We'll talk more about the Mariners, too, because I got to tell you, I'm pulling for them. I really am. I'm pulling for them. And if you're one of the teams that's in the minors, something to keep your eyes open. All right, Dave Ellswick Show. Be back with you here in just a moment. Don't forget about Eastside Towing and what they want to do for you. They want to make sure they get you off the side of the road as quickly as possible with the less hassle that they can offer to you. Like, they know what's the difference between private property towing and public property towing. They know how to make sure that you end up at the place that you want your car to end up at. Like, for me, I have them tow me right to Joe's garage and have whatever's going to be done to my car started on as soon as possible. But East End Towing can do all of that for you. All you have to do is call them. Keep the number in your phone. Then all you got to do is hit on speed dial. 501-888-8849. Number again, 501-888-8849. East End Towing. Steve Davis is here. He is the voice of the Travs. How you felt about the second half with the Travs? Good?
Yeah, it was weird. Right around the All-Star break going into it and the first couple games out of it, 9-game losing streak.
Yeah, that was interesting because you guys were really you were close.
Playing well. The team had been based on pitching. The offense had started to come on. The team's still last in the league in scoring overall this year, pretty much last in every offensive category. And then they had about a month, 5-week stretch from early June into July where they were the highest or second highest scoring team in the league.
Bats got hot,
and you're like, all right, things are starting to click. The offense has it figured out now. The pitching's still really good. And then all of a sudden, it's like they flipped a switch and everybody just went the other direction. And it cost them. They lost the end of a series here at home on a Sunday. We went to Wichita for a 6-game series going into the break and lost all 6. 3 of them were blowouts. 3 of them were close. 2 on walk-off homers in extra innings. And it's just like, what do we got to do to get a win? You lose the first. It just stacked up. And you're going, what do we got to do here? Well, now they've got it back on track, but it's hard to make up for a 9-game losing streak.
That's right.
Your record, even when you're playing better, still looks poor because of that. So the second half record for the Travs, not real pretty. 4th place in the standings. If you get really hot, you could make up for that, but you can't guarantee that. And there's still long enough ways to go. I think we've got 33 games to go in the season, so still plenty of time to make a run. But as you said, as long as this team's competitive,
people
it's fun
come
to
out.
Watch. And it is competitive baseball on a nightly basis. They've won 2 of the first 3 this week from Northwest Arkansas. So
that's
playing
important.
Good ball, good starting pitching most of the time. The bullpen's got a bunch of power arms. It's a fun group to follow and watch.
Okay, it's hard to explain to people why teams go into extended losing streaks. I mean, it really is.
You're in the middle of it, and you don't have an explanation for it.
The players don't have an explanation for it. I don't know why sometimes during a season I would walk up to the plate, and when the pitcher threw the ball, it looked like a beach ball coming in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you could pick up the rotation of the ball. You could pick up the speed of the ball easily. Then there's other times, as Yogi Berra would say, it looked like an aspirin coming at you dissolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, seriously, it's like that. It's like you couldn't hit it if, well, you're trying all the time, but still, it's like it all your talent went away or something. It's really weird.
And things can change in an instant sometimes. Sometimes it's a gradual change. Sometimes it's more instantaneous. But, yeah, it was weird how that happened for the Travs because all of a sudden you're just going along and then
flip a switch.
A couple things happen, a little bit of bad luck all of a sudden. And honestly, the All-Star break came at a good time. Get the guys away from it, get them physically refreshed. More importantly, get them mentally refreshed. They were excited to get back to it. This group is still coming to the ballpark early every day. They're not beaten down by this point in the season where it's the dog days. And it's been a fun group to be around, and I think that shows when they play. Joe Rizzo came back off the injured list last night. If you've seen the Travs play this year, Joe Rizzo's the guy who he takes as big a swing as anybody on the team. He provides a little swagger for this group. It was good to get him back. He was super fired up yesterday to be back in the lineup. So I think that gave him a little boost as well, and hopefully can carry him these last few weeks with some energy.
All right, so tonight, fireworks.
Not just fireworks, pyro in the park.
Tonight. Okay, big fireworks.
The sixth annual Pyro in the Park. Biggest fireworks show that we do all year with the Travs. Probably the biggest one you've ever seen in your life. I don't know what other fireworks shows people have been to. But every year,
bigger than the one on the 4th of July on the river, I'll tell you
well,
that.
Well, every year when we do Pyro in the Park, I keep thinking, yeah, it's going to disappoint this year. It can't be as big as we say it's going to be. Every year, it impresses.
It not just
meets expectations, it exceeds it. So it's always fun. It'll be a long fireworks show after the ball game tonight. And then Paw Patrol night tomorrow. Both ball games at 7:05. Paw Patrol jerseys for the Travs tomorrow. They're actually in a silent auction right now, Travs.com/auction. You can see them. You can bid on them. That runs through about the end of the game tomorrow. And then one of my favorite promotions, it's a longtime Travs promotion. After the game tomorrow, the watch dig. There's going to be a watch buried in the infield.
Okay, you a big watch guy?
No, I just enjoy watching the people go dig for it with plastic spoons. That's the entertaining part. We've done it with remote controls for a TV. We've done it with diamond rings. It's a watch this year. $5,000 watch.
Wow.
It's going to be buried in the infield before the game. Nobody will know where it is. If you're 18 or older, you can go down on the field after the game. We'll give you a plastic spoon. You dig. If you find it, it's yours.
It could take anywhere from
two. I've seen it take 2 minutes. I've seen it take over 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things we do.
Oh, that's pretty cool. My favorite thing that they used to do, I don't know if they do it, did midget wrestling. They still do midget wrestling?
Don't anymore, unfortunately.
I love midget wrestling.
I did too. It was fun.
it's always good.
And the guys that came in to perform were awesome.
And they were
beautiful.
Great.
Bobby, Lil' Cato, great people.
Yeah.
It was always one of my favorite nights of the year.
All right. But anyway, not this year. But that's all right. Maybe in the future again. I hope so.
Who knows?
I love that stuff. But anyway, bottom line. So tonight you can win yourself a nice watch.
Tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Watch is tomorrow. Big fireworks show.
Fireworks tonight. Pyro tonight. Okay. If you like me, I like burning things.
Yeah.
I like watching fireworks. And the grand finish is always what's important, where they look like they shoot off all the tubes at once.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there for Pyro Night, I think the second year, and that was incredible. Loud and bright.
Not much of a post-game show tonight on radio. I can guarantee that.
Because when they start going off, hard to be heard.
It's hard to talk during fireworks. People think you're reporting from a war zone.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Maybe the closest that you'll get as far as that's concerned.
I hope so. I hope I'm never involved in that.
Yeah, you don't want to be. I've been there. It's not fun.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate you coming in today.
Anytime, Dave.
He came into
fun.
The studio today. You know, look, he works at night. So for him to come in here during the daytime, that's his time. And that's cool. And I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
It's really good.
It's good to have you. Nice that you do it.
Well, you're getting close. You said about 5 weeks left. And I asked this question. I don't have time to ask it right now and have you get into it. But, you know, it's kind of a thing when you get to the end of the season, you look forward to it, but you don't look forward to it.
Yeah.
Your day is pretty laid out for you all the time that the games are going on. Now you got to get back to real life again.
It's nice to have a break at the end, but then you start counting down to the next season already.
Okay, I've got 30 seconds. How many hot dogs have you consumed this season?
Not many. I was actually telling somebody yesterday, somebody said, oh, a hot dog sounds good tonight. I said, most nights a hot dog doesn't sound good. Give me some real food. But early in the season, I think I had a couple. I'm probably at 5 for the year.
Wow, you're better than I am. All right, news is coming up. We'll be back. Steve, thanks for coming in. We'll check in again before the season's over. All right, final half hour of the Dave Elswick Show for this week. Got just about 25 minutes left here on this Friday edition. Matt Smith is back from baking out on the beautiful beaches of the Caribbean. Good to have him back with us. And let's talk about the movies, because there's some good movies out for this weekend, new movies coming out. And let me just throw the first one out I want you to talk about. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Yes, hey, that's out. That's new this week from Area 24. We've got that at the Riverdale 10, Riverdale10.com. That's Riverdale10.com. Go to the website, check out those show times. Yes, Bodies, 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 rated R. And, of course, it stars the breakout hit from one of the Borat movies. This girl got an Academy Award nomination. Maria Bakalova, she stars in this movie. So she's going from an absurd, goofy comedy to a scary horror movie.
Yeah.
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies are 95 minutes long. In an isolated family mansion, a group of rich 20-somethings decides to play Bodies, 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 a game where one of them is secretly a killer, and the rest try to escape. Things take a turn for the worse when real bodies start turning up, setting off a paranoid and dangerous chain of events. That starts today. Brand new motion picture. You want to be sure to check that out. Also at Riverdale 10 today, we have Mac and Rita. It's PG-13, and it stars Diane Keaton, Taylor Page, Dustin Milligan, Simon Rex, Nicole Byer. 95 minutes long, PG-13. A woman in her 30s is struck by lightning and wakes up as a 65-year-old. Which isn't like what she had imagined.
Yeah.
Mac and Rita, PG-13, new today. And I'll tell you something cool we got going on. We are having the Top Gun Maverick fan appreciation event today.
Oh, cool.
The first 100 people to watch Top Gun Maverick today will receive a free commemorative movie poster for Top Gun Maverick fan event with ticket purchase.
Wow.
Yes, so if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, stop by to pick up the free poster. If you've seen it and you want to watch it again, today's a good day. Riverdale10.com. First 100 people to watch Top Gun Maverick get that special fan event commemorative movie poster today. That starts today. So if you haven't seen Top Gun, be sure to check it out. A couple other movies we haven't talked about. Number one movie at the box office is Bullet Train.
Man, that's a good movie.
Is a good film. You really enjoyed it, huh?
Oh, it was hilarious. I mean, it's got everything that you want in a movie for a guy. You got the action, you got the bloodshed, you've got the humor, and then you got, you know, and Brad Pitt's on there, and he's a guy's guy, and he plays a great part in this motion picture.
Bullet Train is art. It's from Sony Motion Pictures. It's got 126-minute running time. David Leitch directs. It stars Brad Pitt, Michael Shannon, Sandra Bullock, and there are a million cool cameos.
Yes, there are.
In this motion picture.
There really are. In fact, there's one. There's a couple of them that are uncredited. There is one where Ryan shows up and just makes a very fast "here I am, see you later" kind of a join in this motion picture.
In Bullet Train, Brad Pitt stars as Ladybug, an unlucky assassin who
Ladybug.
His job peacefully after one too many gigs gone off the rails. Fate, however, may have other plans, as Ladybug's latest mission puts him on a collision course with lethal adversaries from around the globe, all with connected yet conflicting objectives on the world's fastest train. From the director of Deadpool 2, the end of the line is only the beginning in a wild, nonstop thrill ride through modern-day Japan.
Well, what's really good is this is the guy who gave us, of course, the first movies of... it just jumped out of my head.
Deadpool 2?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you got him too. But I mean, if you like that kind of action and that kind of craziness, you get it. You get it big time in this movie. I laughed hard. What I like is that they didn't even try. They didn't even try to make you think those pictures of the bullet train weren't a model.
There you go.
It was Japanese filmmaking at its best, is kind of what I think they were saying there. But it is a good movie. For when you first go in, let me just warn you, first 5-10 minutes, you're going to be saying, what? Hang with it, because it picks up a rhythm, and it's very good.
It is crazy wild. It is a good time. I highly recommend it. I totally agree with you on what you're saying for this movie. No doubt about it. Now, what do we still have on the screen for you? Hey, we've still got Elvis playing. It's PG-13. Wonderful motion picture. This is Elvis week. So good time to catch Elvis again or see it for the first time. This is Elvis week this week. So be sure to check out the movie Elvis. For the kids to see before they go back to school, we still have DC League of Super Pets.
Man, I went and saw it last night. Great movie.
Hey, you've got Dwayne Johnson voicing this, Kevin Hart, Kate McKinnon, Vanessa Bayer, Natasha Lyonne, directed by Jared Stern. Great movie for the kids, PG League of Super Pets. Be sure to check that out. Get the kids to see that before they go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Peele's new thrill ride, Nope, rated R, from the director of Us and Get Out. That movie is still on the screen. We are playing Thor, Love and Thunder.
Boy, it's hanging in there.
Cinema Universe hit, Thor, Love and Thunder. It's PG-13. That's still on the screen. And, of course, the number one best-selling book, Where the Crawdads Sing, PG-13, directed by Olivia Newman. That is still playing. And we have a cool movie called Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. And this movie is rated PG, still playing that at the Riverdale 10. A great heartwarming story about a maid who travels to Paris to buy a big, beautiful, wonderful fashion gown from Christian Dior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a fish out of water, cool little story there. So be sure to check out Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. That is still on the screen at Riverdale 10. And we have the movie from Joe Kai, the stand-up comic, Easter Sunday, also still playing. Details at Riverdale10.com. Now, of course, we serve beer and wine. All of our seats are luxury leather, luxury recliners with tables and reserve seating. Be sure to join our rewards club. You get your rewards card for free at the theater. It is simple, easy, free to sign up. You get points for every dollar you spend, and you can redeem those points for free concessions, free food, free drinks, free popcorn, free movie tickets. Be sure to sign up for the Rewards Club. We got an email newsletter, and we send out special information on that email newsletter, like the Top Gun fan event where you get the free movie poster and other perks. So be sure to sign up for that email newsletter at the website. We were voted Best of Arkansas, Best Movie Theater winner for 2022.
Very good.
From the readers of the Arkansas Times, so be sure to check that out. And the popcorn buckets are back.
I've got my new one.
The 2023 refillable popcorn bucket is back. You can buy that popcorn bucket now here in August of 2022. Use it all the way through the end of the year and use it next year in 2023. You purchase a ticket on Wednesday. You bring in your bucket. You get a free bucket of popcorn. And, of course, you can refill that bucket for $5 anytime. It's a 2023 refillable popcorn bucket. Now, information about this refillable bucket, and, of course, information about our rewards club and our gift cards and our full food menu, all at the website, Riverdale10.com. Just click the banners.
Keep in mind that the movies, there's still great movies that are there at the theater. There are new, fresh movies that are coming up in the next few weeks. I just saw the big one sheet go up for this weekend for Halloween. The final movie of the trilogy, and it looks great. It's got Michael on the front of it, and it says End Halloween. It looks pretty good. I like the way that they're presenting that. But there's some movies that you're talking about that I want you to talk about when we come back from this break, like The Initiation and a few others that are going to be showing as we go into the late summer into the early fall. It's a 9:45. The Dave Elswick Show. Matt Smith is with us. He is the movie mogul of Central Arkansas. All right, there are some new movies that are coming up. And you need to, you know, talk about these. One that really interests me, when's the last Halloween? Well, it ain't going to be the last one, but anyway, when's Halloween Ends coming out?
October 14th. That's the big day, October 14th.
All right, that's going to be big. That's going to be a huge box office. I'm just telling you, it's going to always be good. And the other one that's got my attention is this movie called The Invitation. Sounds interesting.
Invitation is out on the 25th. The first show will be August 25th at 5 p.m., and tickets go on sale for this movie on Tuesday. It is from Sony Pictures. And it's 90 minutes. After the death of her mother and having no other known relatives, Evie takes a DNA test and discovers a long-lost cousin she has never knew she had. Invited by her newfound family to a lavish wedding in the English countryside, she's at first seduced by the sexy aristocrat host, but it is soon thrust into a nightmare of survival as she uncovers twisted secrets in her family's history and the unsettling intentions behind their sinful generosity.
Mm. It's got Bill. It's got Bill Skarsgård in it, and that makes it worth seeing.
There you go. And this is on Thursday night, 5 p.m. is the first showtime, August 25th. Tickets go on sale Tuesday for The Invitation. That's coming up on the 26th. Also coming soon, we have next weekend, The Beast.
Oh, that looks good.
Rated R, 93 minutes. A recently widowed man and his two teenage daughters travel to a game reserve in South Africa. However, their journey of healing soon turns into a fight for survival when a bloodthirsty lion starts to stalk them. Beast starts on the 19th. Also starting on the 19th, Dragon Ball Super Superhero.
Okay.
This is a Japanese animated film. It is the biggest Japanese animated series of all time, Dragon Ball. The Red Ribbon Army, an evil organization that was once destroyed by Goku in the past, has been reformed by a group of people and created new and mightier androids.
Yeah, and be sure everybody understands that it's dubbed, all right? This is the original Japanese film.
Japanese animation. That starts on the 19th as well. And then, of course, we talked about the 26th. We have The Invitation. And also on the 26th, we will have 3,000 Years of Longing, directed by George Miller, stars Tilda Swinton. A lonely and bitter British woman discovers an ancient bottle while on a trip to Istanbul and unleashes a Dajin who offers her three wishes.
Yeah, it's a genie.
Yes. Filled with apathy, she is unable to come up with one until his story sparks her desire to be loved. Longing. That starts on the 26th as well.
All right, now wait. Before you go any further, I got to ask this question. I'm a huge Sylvester Stallone fan. Mm-hmm. He's going to play a superhero in his next movie, and it's coming up pretty soon, is it not?
Which movie are you talking about?
Samaritan.
Samaritan is... I'm not familiar with that one. I'm not familiar with that one. So
it's going to be interesting. I'm always interested to see what Sylvester Stallone does because I like his movie. So I'll be looking forward to seeing it. What can I say?
Gotcha.
That's what I want to do. All right, now before I let you go, You got to tell me about Turk and Caicos. I always like you to talk about this because this is like your heavenly vacation. You love that place.
Well, I mean, I like it because it works out good for family. That's why I like it. That's why I continue to go. We go every August, and I continue to go because it's just great for my kids. We go to Turks and Caicos because I love to dive. I love scuba diving. They got the barrier reef there. It's like just, looking through air. It is the best diving this side of the planet. I think only Australia has better diving than Turks.
Mm.
It's crazy beautiful there for scuba diving. I love to scuba dive. See at the Beaches Resort, it's very family-oriented. And, wonderful hotel rooms. They have 21 different restaurants there. Awesome access to the beach. Massive amounts of swimming pools. And then they have Sesame Street characters there, which works out really good for my kids. My daughter just turned 9. My son just turned 5. They love the Sesame Street characters. You can go to breakfast with the Sesame Street characters. You can go to lunch with them. They have a Sesame Street character show every night. The Sesame Street, you can have the Sesame Street characters come to your room and read you a book. I mean, it's just cool. And my kids love it. They have a blast there. And so that's why we continue to go. This was our 10th time to go. Of course, we didn't go in 2020 because they were closed.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just awesome. And they get to do all those wonderful activities, and I get to scuba dive, and it's just kind of an annual thing, and it wraps up our summer because, you know, my kids are back in school Wednesday.
Yeah, that's when my grandson starts school on Wednesday, first day of school.
Yes, where is he going to school?
He's going to be in school in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, is where he's going to be his very first day. He's 5 years old, so it's a big day for him. Be a big day for me. I've already told him I want plenty of pictures.
There you go. But, you know, here in Arkansas, most schools are starting Monday the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So, my kids are starting back on Wednesday, so it's just something we try to do to kind of wrap up the summer, and they're so young, they still love it. And you know, they Cookie Monster and Grover and those guys are very, very real to my son.
Oh, yeah.
He's five. You know, he just turned five. So he is starting kindergarten. Now, he went to pre-K 3 and pre-K 4, but he is starting the kindergarten Wednesday.
All right. Well, it's a big change, man. I'm just telling you, it's a big change. And with that said, you know, I know I'm getting really old when I hear your daughter is 9 years old.
Yeah, she just turned nine. It's been awesome. And she still has a good time there playing with her little brother and everything. And it's so family-oriented, you know. And that's why we keep going. They love it, man. It's our annual trip, and they have a good time with it for sure.
Well, for folks who don't know, you and I have known each other for years. I mean, almost 23 years now.
A long time it has been, my friend.
And one thing I look forward to around Christmas time, besides my cake from Two Sisters, is your family Christmas card. I love
Thank
your
you.
Family Christmas cards.
Thank you. That is nice to say. That is nice to say. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I keep up. But I just want everybody to know, just because the summer's kind of rolling to an end here doesn't mean that the movies are rolling to an end at the movie theater. There's a lot of new content that's coming up here. And when we get into the fall, there's some big ones still coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, we have two new movies every Friday, you know, coming up. And, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, as you get into the fall in October, you know, you got that Lyle Lyle Crocodile October 7th, which will be great for kids. October 14th, you know, you have the new Halloween movie, which is
Oh, I can't tremendous. Wait.
That's just going to be huge, a huge motion picture there. Halloween Ends, you know, that's happening on the 14th. And then you've got Ticket to Paradise with George Clooney and Julia Roberts, an awesome rom-com that comes out October 21st. And also on October 21st, just a massive movie with Dwayne Johnson, Black Adam.
Yeah, boy.
21st. Just a big motion picture right there. So, yes, October has some massive big hit motion pictures in it. You know, that's really our fall time as October rolls around. But as we get into August and September, we've got two new films every Friday. A lot of these films will be award-nominated pictures. You know, they are definitely award-heavy pictures. And, hey, don't forget our classic movie for September the 13th, tickets $5, and that is The Good, the Bad, and Ugly from 1967.
That's right.
Dave Elswick.
Clint Eastwood on the big screen. Got to see the man with no name. I got to tell you, it's a great motion picture. All right.
Sell now, Riverdale10.com.
I'll let you go. You have a great
Thank
weekend.
You. Thank you.
Enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Time with your family. We'll talk to you later, Matt. Matt Smith, who is the man about movies here in Central Arkansas. And we have known each other since 2001. Been a long time. Been a long time, and he sends me a Christmas card every year. I was kind of mentioning that just a moment ago. Those Christmas cards are cool. I mean, they really are. And a lot of people don't send Christmas cards anymore. They send you Merry Christmas over a text or something like that. Not Matt. Matt sends out the Christmas card. I don't know if it's on him or it's his wife that likes doing it, but I will tell you this much. They are fantastic Christmas cards. And I'm not kidding you. I know I'm getting old that his daughter is 9. I remember when she was born. I really do. His first kid. I remember that. All right. We're done for today. I'm going to get recharged over the weekend. We'll get back together 6 a.m. Monday. We're going to talk about the 1619 Project and how it's nothing but a frickin' lie. And I'm going to talk about that book big time on the 9 o'clock hour of Monday. And also, of course, R.D. Hopper and Paul Calvert will be in, and we'll deal with all of the hot topic issues of the weekend. So don't miss it. I'll be there for you. You be there for me. And we'll get together and have a good time. 6 o'clock a.m. Monday. It's Dave Elswick Show. Have a great weekend.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.